Well, I'm going to move around because you can't talk about slam ball without moving around. Good afternoon, everybody. So great to be here. Thanks a lot, Ben. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Ava. Thank you, Cavendish Group, for putting this together. So happy to spend a few minutes with you about slam ball. Quick background on me. I ran the events division for the National Basketball Association for a number of years. I started a global events business for Nike. I ran NBA teams in Portland and Memphis. I ran the New York Rangers of the NHL. And for the last decade, before I joined slam ball, I was president of the Portland Timbers and Portland Thorns of Major League Soccer and the NWSL. But I joined slam ball this past year because I believe it's future of sports. We talked a lot about today about young people and connecting with young people. We talked about content. We talked about earned media. And slam ball is so incredibly well positioned for that. We're fast, so fast you don't need toilets. That's one of the themes of today. We're 30-minute games, fast, fun, we're inclusive, we're priced and accessible, and we really speak to young people. So I'm going to spend a few minutes today giving you a little bit of background, some details on our launch this past summer. But first, take in this video, give you a sense of what slam ball is all about. Who wants to try it? So slam ball, we relaunched this past summer in Las Vegas with a summer series. We attracted $15 million of Series A investment from some of the top sports and Hollywood entertainment investors in the U.S. and abroad, for that matter, because they saw in slam ball a chance to get in on the ground floor of a sport that really has an incredible future. We're the league, we're the rights holder, and we're effectively a video game come to life, as you just saw, where basketball meets football, meets hockey, meets gymnastics, meets insanity. We launched 8 teams this year. Our athletes came from mostly about 50% basketball, 60% basketball, 30% football, 10% track and field, and a couple percent gymnastics. And these athletes performed really high at elite levels, but much as the UFC is sort of a hybrid sport and found athletes who sort of excel in that particular discipline or that vertical, we too have found that. So we launched 8 teams this year and created some young new stars. The fellow in the purple jersey on the right is named Tony Crosby. He's my height. He was a track and field championship at Texas A&M and became just a transformational, transcendent player. He's got 5 million followers and has just really become a huge star, which was one of our objectives. We had an undefeated team, the Mob, who really dominated, which kind of made for a great storyline. And we talked a lot about content. We had our sport is just so incredibly well positioned for social media. 100 of our posts had 100,000 plus views, and we had another 10 million views from reposts from various platforms on slam ball. Our engagement rates, and for those of you who don't know, engagement rate is if you post something online, if someone reshares it, comments, or likes it, that's engagement. Our engagement rate was more than any other sport over the last 6 months. Traditional sports like the NFL, the NBA, emerging sports like pickleball, we had an engagement rate of 6%. Our Instagram grew nearly 50%, 48%. And our growth on Twitter was similar, 46% over the last 6 months. And the sport in the States that was next in terms of growth rate was the Professional Fighters League at 16%. Broadcast, we were fortunate enough as a brand new sport to forge a multi-year deal with ESPN. So we had 50 hours of Slam Ball on ESPN, both linear and on their streaming platform, ESPN Plus. We were in Latin America, in Oceania, in New Zealand, Australia. We had our content in China on various platforms and had, in a matter of weeks, 25 million views of Slam Ball content in China. And so we're a broadcast property that is already taking hold, and we expect in the future to have distribution in several hundred countries. Also had incredible earned media. Gerdine talked earlier about the power of earned media, and we had really all the major news outlets in the States and beyond cover the launch of Slam Ball, Sports Illustrated, CNN, CBS, The Wall Street Journal, New York Times, et cetera, because they saw in Slam Ball what I think we all see, which is a sport that really resonates with young people and really has a shot of becoming deeply rooted in sports culture. Had some great buzz. We were at dinner last night with Simone and Desmond from Air Race X, and you'll hear from them later on. And we were talking about the power of influencers. And we were talking about Snoop Dogg, totally unprompted from us, but Snoop Dogg posted 2 or 3 minutes himself watching Slam Ball and opining on the wonders of the game. I can't repeat some of what he said, but that sort of powerful influencer messaging from people like Snoop Dogg. So go online and see it, and you can experience it. But he was like, you know, in his apartment or house and watching Slam Ball in the background and just doing what Snoop does. Pat Mahomes and a bunch of influencers, because I think they saw Slam Ball and were really attracted to it. And you know, that really helped fuel our growth. We betting on sports in the States is not nearly as developed as it is the rest of the world. It's really changed how sports engage with their fans and with their sponsors. And Slam Ball is no different. We had a great reception from the betting community. We got our games up on betting lines within 2 weeks of our season, which is unprecedented. We're in six states and growing right now. But betting, real-time micro-betting and beyond, is very much in our future and a huge part of our strategy. Again, here's a little bit of sort of summary of our social media reach. We had 73 million impressions this past year. And one of the reasons why ESPN and our partners, which I'll talk about in a minute, really, really love Slam Ball, because we speak to young people. And well, 75% of our audience is 18 to 35. And ESPN, for those of you who might know, ESPN linear, people are migrating to streaming. And so the traditional audience on ESPN, while robust, is getting older. Our audience on ESPN was 30, 40% younger than they normally see. So we really, again, are, I'll show you demographics in a second, right here. Again, 75% between 18 and 35, largely male. We just heard from this great panel about partners, and I really appreciated Brett's from NatWest's description of long-term partnerships. We had six partners join us before we had even played our first game. Several of whom have multi-year deals. A couple are taking equity positions in our sport because they see a chance to be in on the ground floor of a sport, help it grow. Have the sort of brand equity that you heard about moments ago in the panel. So we have six partners, and you heard from John from AEG this morning about the blend now of traditional sports sponsors and emerging brands. And I think Slam Ball, we've done that. If you look at this list below, you'll recognize some of them. Pabst Blue Ribbon is a venerable old beer brand that's now trying to reemerge, but some of the others you see here, Better, is a micro-betting tech company. So I think we've struck a good balance between emerging new brands and some established brands. And being, and you heard in the last panel about being able to be flexible and to evolve with the property and to grow with the property and be a true partner, you heard moments ago. What's neat about Slam Ball is we're writing the book together. We're the rights holder with the league, and we get to do things and break some rules and do things that other partners can't do. So we had Beef Jerky as a sponsor. Beef Jerky is a huge sports category in the States for whatever reason. And we're able to have our announcers, you know, consuming beef jerky on the air during the game. And that's just not something that the traditional sports can do. We're nimble, and we can kind of together with our partners sort of write the script as we evolve. So a little bit about what's next. We, as I mentioned, we staged our first season in Las Vegas last July and August. And next year we're going to expand our U.S. domestic tour to 6 different cities. And we're in the process of choosing those cities now. And we're talking to various international markets. We have a lot of interest from really all corners of the world to have Slam Ball live in their markets. Our vision is in a few years to have a 3 or 4 month season in the States and be touring domestically, internationally for 3 or 4 months and have 8 to 10 international majors around the world. And we're in discussions now with folks in Australia and in the Philippines and in Brazil and elsewhere about that. Currently all the teams are centrally owned by the league. We have had a lot of inbound interest from very prospective team owners in various U.S.-based cities. So in the midterm, we are going to be selling teams and operating teams in markets and then touring, as I described. So it's it's a really, really fun, interactive sport. Young people love it. We're affordable. Games fly by. And it's been, for someone who's worked in more traditional sports, it has been just really, really a refreshing new change. And Anthony Warren of Supersize Live, many of you know, and I are here all in the next couple days. We'd love to sit down with any of you if you've got questions. Happy to share this deck with anybody. But we're, as I mentioned, we're beginning to sort of chart out our roadmap internationally, and love to talk to any of you who might have an interest in getting involved with Slam Ball. How am I doing with time? Any questions? See, I got some questions, Ben. Come on. Throw that box, Ben. Throw that money.
Hiya, Richard from Skateboard GB. really interesting. I haven't seen it, and you said it's sort of been reborn. But you said it was affordable. How much does a pitch cost?
Well, do you have your checkbook, Richard? No, it's a great point. We often talk a lot about pickleball compared to slam ball. Pickleball is fastest growing participation sport in the States and probably around the world, and it's very accessible. You need 20 feet by 40 feet. Ours is a proprietary floor, to your point, Richard. Our prototype was about $1 million, but now we think we can replicate that much more inexpensively and have it produced somewhere other than the States. So that's a big part of our strategy, and I didn't mention, thank you very much for the question, is growing the number of floors so the number of people who can play the sport and can develop young people will grow. So we hope in 3 to 5 years to have 8-10 floors around the States and have a few floors based in Europe and in Asia. But great, great question. One more? Thank you.
Hi. Looks really cool. And there's a lot of these high-energy sports coming up now, like speed climbing and skating. I'm just interested, was there much interest in a women's league to join it?
One of the cool things about our sport, you see, it's playing on trampolines. It's a real equalizer. It doesn't matter what size necessarily. It's a lot about coordination and timing and core strength and agility and comfort in the air, and that applies across genders. So it's very much a part of our strategy to launch a women's slam ball. We think next summer we'll invite a select number of women in to begin to learn the sport. And one of our challenges is they're great athletes, but they don't know the sports. We have to take them for sort of ramp up, whereas opposed to other sports where you're playing since you're a little boy. And so we think we'll stage a women's exhibition next summer somewhere in the States, and we hope that in 3 to 5 years we'll have a sort of a parallel women's division. Thanks so much for the question. Thanks, everybody. Really appreciate it. Look forward to speaking with you later on in the conference.